seems only fitting that in these abnormal times we continue to start with the normal, and that is a joke for you all. It goes like this. A preschooler one evening was watching a TV show with her father. The parents, mom was off doing something else. They were sitting on the couch, and during a commercial moment, the little girl named Crystal turned to her daddy and said, "Daddy, you're the boss of the house, right?" The father got all proud and he said, "Yes, I am the boss of the house," to which Crystal immediately added, "That's because mommy put you in charge, right?" Hey folks, we're talking about authority here in these two scriptures I shared with you. And today is Ascension Sunday. It's a day in which we remember that Jesus went up to heaven to be with God. Ascension Sunday occurs first. It's generally the Sunday before Pentecost. And what had occurred from the time of the resurrection all the way back on Easter to now, Ascension Sunday, is Jesus presented himself so that we, in the 21st century, can hear the eyewitnesses in the first century. Jesus went about the community to demonstrate that indeed he had risen from the grave, that we're now in a new era, the era of the resurrection, that his rising from the grave is a reality. Now, the reason why Jesus did that, the reason why he demonstrated to that fact that the resurrection was true, is because in all the promises that God had given previous, we now know are also true. If God could defeat death through Jesus in the resurrection, then all those other things God promised are true. If God can do the hardest, God can do something simpler. If God could raise Jesus from the dead, then indeed he can lead us beside still waters. If he could raise Jesus from the grave, indeed he can lead us into green pastures. A bountiful table does await for us, even when enemies surround us. Even if we face the valley of the shadow of death, because of the resurrection, we can be guaranteed that the next is true. That God's rod and God's staff comfort us. They watch over us. He takes care of us. Jesus wanted to demonstrate by appearing after the resurrection, confirming the fact that death has been turned around, that for us who believe in him, who hang on to him as Lord and Savior, that death is not a final exit. It's not a step out into nothingness. No, what death is now, for we believers, is a step into a brand new reality, into the kingdom of heaven, without any barriers, without any things in the way. Next week, we celebrate Pentecost. If the resurrection is true, then so is Pentecost. If Jesus rose from the grave, then the Spirit does come into our lives to give us a connection to God, to give us power for living now. Because of the resurrection, we need to look at the ascension. What does it mean to say that Jesus left this earth and ascended into heaven? And I'm going to tell you today that the ascension is a necessary part of the plan of the salvation of God. Interestingly enough, back all the way back, I mean, this is like 1986 era, when I was getting ready for my ordination exams, the theological question that I had to wrestle with, they don't give you an idea ahead of time, they just hand it to you and you get 3 hours to write on it, was what's the theological implication of the ascension? What difference does it make that Jesus left this earth and went to be with God in the form he was, in the resurrected body, okay? So the ascension occurs 40 days after the resurrection. 40 days, Jesus highlighted the new reality. Realize what 40 days is. 40 days, Jesus was in the wilderness. The ascension, the time in which he was on this earth, those 40 days, he highlighted the fact that all that we're going through years the nation of Israel wandered in the wilderness, Jesus walking as a resurrected body in the new realm, the era of the resurrection, means that he redeemed all those moments. We wander around, and we have not a clue what's going on, that we need God's help. We're still wandering, looking for answers. These 40 days highlight the fact that Jesus redeems those moments of ours. So the ascension, at a very basic level, the definition is Jesus ascended into heaven. Hey, we've got a picture for you. This is what it looks like. One of the many photos about the ascension. There's a variety of them. This is one I found is most popular. In the Acts passage where we actually find this. And it's an eyewitness account. The 11 apostles are standing going, there he goes. Where'd he go? So today, we're going to look at where Jesus went. In the Gospel of Matthew, in his final words, Jesus highlights what he received as a result of the resurrection. Let me share that one phrase again. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Now, the reason why this is important for us to acknowledge, sometimes we can say that so fast, we get on to what we are to do to go there for, that we kind of miss what this means. The importance of that phrase, all authority given to Jesus in heaven and on earth, and the ascension tied together, is Jesus now went to his rightful place. He went to be seated on the right hand of God. And the right hand of God is the most trusted place. In kingly realms, if you wanted an advisor that would tell you the truth, lead you in the right way, and not hurt you, they sat on the right hand. They could defend you. They could give you counsel. They were the ones that you trusted with the most powerful position in the kingdom. And so when it's written that Jesus has received all authority in heaven and on earth, that he's going to God's right hand, Jesus is sitting in the place, in his rightful place, because of the resurrection, a place of power. And the reason why he could sit there is because what Jesus did was an incredibly selfless act, a sacrificial act, demonstrating that he wants the best for God and for us. And so because of that, Jesus went to the right hand of God. He had to ascend to that place. The Apostle Paul gives us a little understanding of what this means in Philippians chapter 2. This is one of like the oldest creeds we have. It starts in verse 5. So bear with me. It's at the end we get to the right hand of God and what that means. It goes like this. Paul wrote, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of a human, he found himself in the appearance of a human, so he humbled himself. He became obedient to the point of death, death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. The rightful place of the resurrected one, the one who gave himself sacrificially, is the right hand of God, the place of all authority and all power. Next, what this means sitting at the right hand, what this means that Jesus died on the cross, what the ascension tells us is that Jesus is our mediator. He's the one who is our intermediary between us and God. He's the one that we go through to talk to God. God's a big entity, huge. After all, God created everything we see, everything we continue to see, every aspect of all of our lives. God's big. And so to find God, it's almost a monumental task, but it certainly is far beyond us. So God gave us an avenue. a way in which we can go and present ourselves, our needs, our concerns, our joys, unto God. God gave us an intermediary. Now, interesting things have been happening. And part of this pandemic has been, for me, an interesting psychological study. Part of this, and also a study in terms of how our society is interconnected. You go to the grocery store, and you found there's no meat on the shelves. And the interesting thing about that is, when restaurants closed, farmers had food that couldn't be used. When plant workers got sick, farmers had food that couldn't be used. And so farmers would send their wares, primarily meat, through the plants onto the grocery store. But when the chain got disrupted, then we're finding meat not on shelves. Interesting concept we find here. The intermediaries are grocery stores. The farmers send the food through the plants to the grocery stores onto us. And when the chain was disrupted, what happens? There's no connection. So Jesus is that intermediary. Now, I'm not saying Jesus is a grocery store. Please don't quote me on that. But use that as an example, that we go through Jesus to get what we need with God. So if we need guidance, we go through Jesus onto God. If we need direction, we go through Jesus unto God. If we need calm and peace and assurance, we go through Jesus in order to be able to connect with God. The amazing thing about Jesus, what the resurrection guarantees, is that Jesus can be there with me, as well as you, as well as someone on the other side of the world. To do that, he had to take his rightful place. He had to leave the earth in this form and go and become back with the Godhead. That's what he had to go up to. God being that big, Jesus now can extend to every believer in all times, in all places. And it's the fact that we're sinners, we need someone at a moment's call. And when we realize we've failed morally, who can come and address that and help us correct it. Wiping it away and then connecting us on to God so that hopefully we won't do it again. The way in which Jesus wiped it away, the Bible in the New Testament calls the fact that he was like a priest, that he was the one that gave himself as a sacrifice so that we can now go and approach God. The book of Hebrews highlights this idea that Jesus is the high priest, but not a high priest that makes sacrifices in our name, but a high priest who sacrificed himself for us. As a result of that, we humans don't have to go and make sacrifices. We go and ask for forgiveness. Because the high priest Jesus has then done that once for all. We don't have to do a sacrifice every time. We just have to go ask. The book of Hebrews in chapter 8, verse 1 highlights this. The writer put, this is the main point of what I'm saying. We do have a high priest who sits at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven. This high priest Jesus not only brings us to God, but eliminates the things that get in the way of us coming to God, our sins. And when we pray, we then pray through this high priest. We pray through this person who sacrificed himself for us. We pray through the resurrected Savior. We pray through Jesus. And Jesus being on the right hand of God, he's the intermediary. We humans go to him, our sins are wiped clean, so we then can go on to God. That's the beauty of the ascension. Now, that's not all that Jesus did in these final words. He didn't simply say, I'm going on so that you can be connected to God. I'm going on so that you can find God. I'm going on as I take my rightful place. Jesus gave us a charge. A charge of how we should live now. That's in that Matthew passage. On the mountaintop, they gathered at a special spot. We don't really know where this is. But it's a special place in which Jesus had prearranged they would meet. And then after that, they went to Jerusalem to wait for the Holy Spirit. At this mountaintop, Jesus gave his discharge. Let me read the whole passage for you. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me." Now, before I get to this next one, realize not only is he ruling in heaven, but now he has the right to tell us what to do, because all authority on earth has been given to him. The next phrase Jesus said, a charge, a command. He said, "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptize them, obey what I've commanded you, teach them, and do it now, till the end of the age." That's my paraphrase. But notice what Jesus has done. He's made us his hands in this world. He's made us his love in this world. The love he gave to us to change us, we're now to take that love and go out into the world and do that with others. It's our responsibility now to carry the gospel. And what a better time than now. When everyone's nerves are on edge, when the future is uncertain, when people's lives have been upended, what a better place to share the greatest message of all time. That God loves them. And we, the church, we love them too. And it's an interesting piece about this, is that we can do this because God has given us the tools to do it. God has given us the necessary calm to be able to go out into a world that is topsy-turvy. In John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus said to us, here's his words, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I now send you." That's a charge to all of us. You know, in our world today, there are many unknowns. And as a result of that, many people are stressed. And the worst way for we believers to live in these stressful times is to judge one another. It's easy to do that. I admit it. One person put the worst way to reach out. This is his quote. "The worst way to share the gospel is to share it without love." How so true? We never get anybody through judgmentalism. Ever. We only get people to listen through love. Hope you're hearing that. To put another person down, they will never listen to your message. I don't care what your message is. But we in the church specifically, we have an incredible message of love. We have the power in our heart, true love, to show a different way of living. And that means whether you're typing a message to another person, or you're sitting on Facebook, or you're in a grocery store, or you're in any one of the stores, we have the incredible power to show a different way of living. That comes from the ascension, where Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." As Jesus said in the Gospel of John, "As the Father sent me, so I send you." Let me give you an example. We were in the grocery store when ever Martin's had made all those changes. You know, lines were this way, you had to go in this entrance, they put up the splash shields, and one of the new things was you had to wait for the cashier to tell you to put the items on the conveyor belt. The cashier was the person who would be monitoring the 6-foot distance. Even though the lines were on the floor, the cashier was asked to do that. So the person in front of me was paying all the way at the end of the line. I started to put my items on the conveyor belt. Now this poor cashier just started wearing a mask, and she snapped at me and said, basically, "I will tell you when to put it on." So I started taking everything off again. Now, interestingly enough, I was in my suit. I had a Jesus tie on. I could have been rude back. The thought popped into my head, I have to admit it. But But when I looked down at my tie, and I was taking things off the conveyor belt, I realized, I don't serve me anymore. I realized what Jesus said, as the Father sent me, I now send you. I realized that the resurrection is a reality, not just a theological thought. It's a reality. It's a change agent in our lives. And the change agent just doesn't mean I get heaven. The change agent is how I deal with people who I think have been rude to me. As I took another look at my tie, I patiently waited. She then told me it was time to put the stuff on the conveyor belt. I thanked her. When I got up on the other side of the splash shield, I tried to say as clearly as I could through my mask, thank you for what you're doing. It must really be hard. And I have to tell you, that's not a natural response. That's a resurrection response. Now, did I change her life? I don't know. But the key is to change my response. That's the power of what God tells us. And when Jesus went up to heaven to take his rightful place, he has every right to tell us, to ask us, to command us to act differently, to be different. Let me share you an example. These start to sink. A balloon not blown up. Okay? This, the joke is it's a snake. It's basically I blew it up. This is not. This is a kitty cat. Notice the big ears. Okay? This takes a lot more work than this. But realize what God's asking us to do. Through Jesus, he's asking us to go from this, which takes no effort, to this. To be something special in this world. Because of Jesus' sacrificial moment, because of the cross, he wants us to go from just living on our own to being special. That people take note of us. Not just because we're wearing a tie, but because we're living like the tie speaks. That we're showing that God has changed us. That God has transformed us. So the next time you have that moment in which someone doesn't quite get it, respond with grace. The next time someone may do something you're like, whoa, personal space issues, respond with grace. Remember, we want to be special. We want to demonstrate that the resurrection is a reality in our life. Not just something we talk about. It's something we put in our heart. Folks, let's close this moment with a prayer. Thank you, Jesus. And that's who we thank you. We thank you took on this monumental task of becoming the Savior. We know this was your purpose in this world. Help us to understand the moment we say yes to you, our purpose becomes showing you. Thank you for the incredible way our lives have been transformed by you. Help us in these stressful moments to be the calm. Even when we may be churning inside, to reach out and latch on to that deep well you promised to us, that through Jesus, the shepherd will lead us. Thank you, Lord God, for the blessing of your love. And in our Savior's name we pray. Amen.